Hey, hey, welcome to the Undressing Room Podcast presented by Macy's. Hey, L'Oreal.
Hey, Eva. How you doing, girl?
I'm feeling good, feeling great. How are you?
I'm good. You know, I've been staying up, binging on All the Queen's Men season 2.
You ready for the new episode, friend? It's coming
yes,
down.
Yes, I am. Yes, coming I am. Down. I'm not playing no games. I'm waiting around, so it's Let's time. Go.
Episode 3, it to me, is the spiciest one of the entire season. So y'all make sure y'all tune in this week to All the Queen's Men.
Thank God you told me everything that happened.
I didn't.
All right. No, she didn't.
But what you need to know is that Cardi B, my girl, Cardi, is out here fighting back when fans grab her. Don't play with Cardi B. She might be a millionaire. She might be the one, but she's absolutely not the one to be played with. And your guy Trick Daddy is back in the news. He says that, be clear, he will have a boyfriend-in-law before he gets a divorce.
What the hell is a boyfriend-in-law?
I'm going to break it down for you, girl. He told me, and you ain't even ready for this. Lord. And Ciara, my goodies. She's over here popping Russell Wilson's pimples on vacation. We get to see all of that. And there's a little controversy out there. Is there equity with these men when they go out there and sell their royal oats? Someone to know, because Elon Musk has newborn twins and they're not by his girlfriend, who also has a new baby. We will talk about that in the topic. Why don't people judge him like they do our guy, Nick Cannon?
Wait. Oh, anyway, there's also TikTok challenges that can be a bit fun, right? I'm not a big TikTok person, but I see that a lot of people have fun on there. Some of these challenges have been leading to death. We're going to talk all about it. Also, it goes down in my DMs as it does each and every week. And trust and believe, I had to vet through some of these this week because there's a lot going on in there. And also, we have our final question to undress. This happens.
Don't overlook what's in front of you in hopes for something later, because the later might not come and you be in God's waiting room alone, baby.
All right. It's going down. So That's make sure different. You listen to see how we undress this mess, to hear how we undress this mess on the Undressing Room Podcast, brought to you by none other than Macy's. And speaking of Macy's, you know what's going down this summer. Yes. Step out the door on trends by looking to earthy, inviting shades like chocolatey browns and deep rust, because you know the fall is just right around the corner. Can you believe that?
What?
Yes, it really is. So we got to start the transition from like the summer,
bright colors. Yes. Yeah.
So we still in the summer, though.
But it's time to do your own thing.
Yes.
I love Macy's because they give you a wide variety to choose from, because it's all about your personal style, from hair and makeup to shoes to your apparel. And as you said, fall is creeping up on us. It's all about the earth tones. Whatever those mean to you, because nude for black girls is different than nude for white girls, but the earth tones still live. So Macy's makes it easy for you to find neutral pieces and mix and match that as the occasions call for. The weather changes, the vibes change. And I just want to give another shout out to Macy's for having black girl nudes, brown girl nudes, dark girl nudes, because nude is not universal. The spirit of it is, but the color is not.
It is
your palette to do as you please, because while trends come and go, you sis, you make the style. So for the summer inspiration you need right now, go on over and visit Macy's.com/ownyourstyle. Own your style.
You gotta own it. You gotta own it right at Macy's. And let me tell you who else owns their stuff. That's Cardi B.
Hey.
Now, she has a lot of things going on. She just recently released her single with Kanye West and Lil Durk on that thing. Lil Durk switched it up a little bit, too.
A little bit.
It also seems as though she's fighting back when it comes to her fans. Now, you know, fans sometimes can get a little bit out of hand. We've been seeing a lot of things go viral lately. Little Baby was on stage in Switzerland, and his fan decided that he was going to run up and try to hug him. And that man went flying into the barricade. So I think that was a mistake.
I believe I could fly.
He definitely, now that song is canceled. But when we seen him fly, we started singing it all together as a choir. Now, a fan recently got too comfortable with Cardi B when they decided to reach for her mic at the Wireless Festival in London. Now, apparently, they said that the fan got a hold of the mic and Cardi B had to get the whack-a-moling with the mic and started knocking him in the head. Now, this video went viral, right? And like I said, again, it was the whack-a-mole. You know when you hit them and they go back down? It was giving that. Yeah. So he deny getting into any altercation with a fan, even though there was numerous videos. She said it was just the angle. Cardi. But I get it because you don't want
to. Was it an altercation or was it a yank up? Because an altercation to me is like a back and forth.
So like they tried to snatch it. So that would be back. And no, that would be fourth. And then she started knocking them down. So that would be back. So, you know, even Nicki got into a situation where the fan, she was doing a meet and greet.
She looked good, too.
And she did a meet and greet, which not a lot of artists was doing. But these fans were so dope in London that they wanted to get out there with them. Let's just say she ended up having to mush one of them. So, like, do you think, because these artists are a little huge to be jumping in these crowds like that. Is that even safe?
I mean, it's not safe, but they human. You know what I'm saying? And the thing is you are in their personal space while they are performing or, you know, exhibiting their art or meet and greet and talking to people. And it is very disrespectful for a fan to do something, do what these people have been doing. However, you can't be mad at a person having a natural reaction. Like, if I get mushed, it's my natural reaction to mush back. And I think if you look at these artists as a whole and all that they perform and go through, and how many times do you really hear about these incidents happening? So if Cardi goes out and performs every day of the week for the whole week or every day of the month for the whole month, you might hear about one incident, which means she's packed it in quite a few times.
So my thing is this. Now, there was something about Michael Jackson. As soon as he came out on the stage, people were fainting. They didn't have to touch him. He didn't have to crowd dive. He didn't have to float on top of people. He didn't. And I get it. You want to be closer to your fans. But in a case where there's hundreds of thousands of people or thousands and tens of thousands of people, and you can't be protected because there's only a few security, you're not only putting yourself in danger, but you're also putting the security in danger.
But it's not Michael Jackson Day no more. Like, these people are literally tangible because they are, like, you know, connected because of social media.
No. You think you're connected because it's so that you think you know me well enough to push me and touch me. And that's why you got your ass knocked in the head. So that's what the problem is. You think you're too familiar. And we need to get back to the Michael Jackson era because I'm tired of people being a little too friendly and a little too close just because they follow you on Instagram thinking that they know you. That you don't know me, so don't touch me. But
and
then
you
when you're
me, you
jumping,
would know not to touch me.
You would know not to touch me. But when you're jumping on them in the middle of the crowd, you're touching them. So how could you tell them not to touch you? You know, you on top of their shoulders and this and that. So if you get pushed, I mean, it is what it is. So stay your ass on the stage. And then that's where I'm going to take the security and say those dummies that think that it's okay for them to run on the stage, you deserve to get.
But there's something about it, like when you're in the middle of performing, you're a performer, so you know how it is, where you just lose everything.
Yeah, you want to jump in there. You want to go crazy.
You just do your jam. So I just feel like there has to be a happy medium on both sides where artists definitely take a little bit more cautious, knowing that they are the stars that they are and as tangible as they would like to be for their safety and for the safety of those people around them, they got to pull it in. But then also the fans too, not to put them in those kind of a situation where they find themselves. I saw Tom Hanks walking down the street the other day and a fan was so like on him trying to get a video. He tripped his wife.
Yeah.
Yo, he turned around. Tom Hanks got, yo, he got Debo. He went, was like, yo, that's my wife. Chill out.
You know, you can die. Like, people have died from falling, like just walking down the street and falling and hitting their head. You tripped her and did all that. Say something. Did that? That literally happened to my friend's mother. She tripped and she died. Like, she fell and hit her, her head in the wrong way. She was in the hospital for a while, and they ended up losing her. So you have to be careful. And like I said, it's not just about your security. It's about the people around you, like the security.
Yes.
And then these people, another thing, they get the suing. You get what I'm saying? That's been in situations where just unfortunate, but like, Cardi, you're out there with nipple covers on. You shouldn't be anywhere where people, they'll touch your breast and then you get upset or whatever the case. Stay on the stage. And if they come on the stage, you fly them off.
Yeah, but I mean, just because she got on nipple covers doesn't mean she's supposed to be touched.
I'm
don't
not
touch
saying
her.
That, but if you on top of somebody's shoulders and your thigh on it, like you can only imagine as a crazed fan that pushed his way to the front of the stage, you have to already be on 10.
Yeah.
To be 100. At the front of the stage, Eva, yep. Not behind a barrier.
You're right.
Like, no.
You don't hear me say that often, but you is right.
Thank you. Is that security going to get in trouble? That launched that man off.
Said Beyonce would never.
Because I'm saying you, that little baby, that situation, that guy had to have gotten hurt the way that he got thrown. But yeah. You shouldn't have been on that stage.
Well, you know what? Speaking of being sued, you want to know who not suing nobody?
Who's that?
Trick Daddy.
Oh, Lord.
Trick Daddy say he will have a boyfriend-in-law before he gets a divorce.
And what the hell is a boyfriend-in-law? I've been waiting for this.
Listen, he's not going to court at all. Trick Daddy and his estranged wife, the beautiful Joy Young, have seemed to part ways yet again. Now, in a recent interview, Trick Daddy said, "The only way I get a divorce is if my girlfriend actually wants me to marry her." In my mind right now, I'm like a dual point guard. One and done. He said that he would rather let his wife, Joy, who he's still married to, but they are no longer together. They're like separated.
Okay.
Have other boyfriends and call them boyfriend-in-laws. He then elaborated, "I do allow her to date, but allow girl, try this. I mean, this man crazy. But now I need to start evaluating these dudes. Who she messing with, because they are my boyfriends and husband-in-laws. And we need to get along. And they need to take care of my wife. And they need to do what they need to do." He also added that she's going to hell with me because this is adultery.
Oh, no, he did not.
Now, some reactions thought that he just didn't want to pay alimony. And this is just a whole setup not to have to come out the pocket. Other people are like, bruh, this is extremely toxic. What are you talking about? So what do you think about, because I'm all here for making the world that works for you. I always tell you about relationships. I feel like make it work for you. Don't do what the world is doing. Do what you need to do. So what do you think about Trick Daddy's plan? Like, I'm not leaving you and you could be with him, but he mine too. Like, what's going on here?
I mean, y'all did take vows and the vow said to death do us part. But imagine being stuck with Trick Daddy for the rest of your life. Like, girl, you knew what you was getting yourself into. And for him to even come up with a boyfriend-in-law, that is hilarious. I'm not gonna lie, one thing Trick Daddy is, he is very entertaining.
He's hilarious.
Who would even think about something like that? I don't think you should leave somebody trapped in a situation. If they don't want to be with you anymore, then they move on. But you did take vows, and if that's what he believes in. But don't bring the court thing into play, because Trick Daddy, trust and believe, you've been to court numerous times. Remember when you got pulled over and you had the coke?
Yeah, but see, he wasn't trying to go to court.
No, but he didn't have no choice. Just like when you want to get a divorce and she wants a divorce and you don't. That's kind of the same thing. Like, you being dragged in there.
Yeah.
So you can't. If she finds happiness, let that woman be happy. But I do like how he's saying, because if they do have a friendship, it is kind of dope that he like, nah, you're going to treat my wife right. Like, you're going to treat her how, because it's almost giving brother, but that's still a little creepy.
Well, you know, Trick has always been a lover, though he is like a rapper. Trick love the kids. He love his wife, boyfriends. He loving on everybody.
But God forbid, say y'all ever like didn't work out. What if he was like, all right, now I got to approve of all your boyfriends from here on out? That's a little weird.
It will only work so far, because if I got to approve of these women, we might as well just get back together. Because
he's taking that daddy name too far. Trick
way
daddy
too. Well, speaking of, there's another daddy in the press this week, and he gets his pimples popped. Sierra's daddy, Russell Wilson. So when it comes to marriage. Yeah. You might do a lot of things for your spouse that you would not normally do. The one and only TMZ caught Russell Wilson and Ciara out on a very, very snazzy vacation. She was looking like a whole snack. Oh, Ciara looking good these days.
Looking good.
Now, it appears that Russell was complaining about a pimple or like an ingrown hair or something and a razor bump that was on his face. Now, he couldn't appear to ease it. Like, it was just an issue and an issue. So, Ciara decided to pop that thing.
So, wait, y'all seen all this from a paparazzi camera? Like,
how does people be stalkers?
That's weird to know that he had a razor ingrown, this, that, and the third.
Well, some was hurting. There's a mosquito bite, something up under there. Now, the question is, what are some things that are considered gross that you would do for your significant other? And are there any boundaries when it comes to your man? Like, would you pop his pimple or nah?
So like, I think that that's super nasty. Like I can't even do that to myself. I have like helped my ex like shave his back before, like before his laser, like he used to get laser hair removal. And like he would.
What you date a swimmer? Why he had to shave his back?
Because he didn't like how it looked like hairy. Like it was just, he was really hairy. So he would get it removed. You know what I mean? So
I am not about to rub on your back with stubble on it like a chin. That is so weird.
Well, that's why he got laser and his back was tatted. So he didn't want, you know, he wanted it to be like completely bare.
Okay. I see that.
Yeah. So I would help him do that. And I always thought that was a little disgusting. But my homegirl one time, she was dating this guy, and I always thought this was the most nastiest thing. She, like, I don't even think she really liked this man. She just used to treat him like a slave, for real. And, like, she would go to the bathroom and call him to wipe her. He would have to do it every time.
Is this love that I'm feeling?
No, that was abuse. That's abuse, because the only way I'm wiping your butt is if you're a freaking in an accident, can't move. And
right. But let's be clear, because I set it up. This is her husband. She's had children with him.
I want to wipe your butt.
No, I'm not going to wipe your butt. But you wipe your kid's butt. As a mother, there are things that you never thought you would do that you find yourself doing because of the love for your children.
Disgusting.
And if I can push babies out and go through all the things that it entails, being pregnant, postpartum, all of that stuff, I can definitely pop a pimple. I will pop your pimple out, pull that ingrown out. I said, you have a facial. I'm that girl. I clip your toenails.
No.
Well, mommy, I sure will. Come on, Cece. No. I'm with you, sis. Come here, Mike. Give me that foot.
See, I'm not in love right now, so it's not giving. You know what I mean? Like,
But once you do, and once you do find yourself head over heels in love, and you with child, and you over here pushing out babies and pulling out that little mucus plug drop out, and he over there, believe me, a pimple is the smallest of things.
Eva, I have the weakest stomach on planet Earth. I think, literally, like, you can gag and I'll start gagging. Like, smells make me...
Oh, I'm going to be in the delivery room when you have this baby.
Oh, my God. It's going to be so bad. And everybody keeps trying to encourage me to have kids.
I know, me too. It's the craziest thing.
My mother was literally like, just have the baby and I'll take care of her or him and you could just go work.
But there's a different kind of love and consideration you have when it grew inside your stomach and come out your...
Yeah, I know, because my goddaughter, she just pooped on my homegirl's sister the other day, and I was sitting next to her. I was like, I'm sorry, please don't poop on me. And because it's not my child, but it is my godchild. But I'm still like, I love you, godchild, but do not poop on me, sis.
Listen, you're listening to the Undressing Room podcast presented by Macy's. Check out our personal Macy's shopping page at macy's.com/theundressingroom.
Now, speaking of babies, these men is out here hiding baby mamas and baby mamas and mama's mamas. Anyway, Elon Musk, one of the most richest men to be walking around this here planet.
I don't even think he walks this. I think he glides.
He Teslas. And he has twins, and who knew, with one of his executives at his company. Now, this was something that was kind of on the low because he has a girlfriend who also just had a baby recently. Either way, Nick Cannon.
By surrogate.
Listen, I don't know what. So you plant that. That wasn't even like a boop. Like, you literally, and then you name your kids XYZZYA, and then his other kid doesn't even want to be his kid. It's a whole thing going on over here with Elon Musk. Nick Cannon is not the only one that's popping him out. So Elon Musk had created a big fuss over the years about declining birth rates. right? And mm-hmm. now he had these twins on the low in November with a woman who runs his company, one of his companies. Now, it's an unofficial confirmation, but he tweeted, doing my best to help the underpopulation crisis. He said, a collapsing birth rate is the biggest danger civilization faces so far. You think he was trolling when he did that?
Yo, he petty as hell, not the underpopulated crisis.
I thought y'all said it was overpopulated and Bill Gates was trying to get rid of some people. I'm so confused when it comes to like what y'all got going on here. Either way, he has a baby with Grimes. This was in December. That's their second via surrogate. So now at this point, they're saying he has either 9 or 10 kids. So he's not getting any backlash, though, which is so crazy because when Nick Cannon didn't even have but what, 6? Mm-hmm. I mean, but that's a lot. But
I mean, like, threw twins and was married, like, you know.
Twins and was married. This man, we just see all these kids popping up out of nowhere. We know he's the white man. Nick Cannon is who he is. Now, he's not getting any backlash, not the backlash that Nick Cannon is getting, not comparing baby mamas, not asking why he slept with someone at his company, and that's a conflict, none of that stuff. Well, they both are taking care of their children financially, except for the one that didn't want to be Elon Musk's daughter no more. That changed her name and all that.
But she's kind of grown, so it seems as if he still took care of her financially, too.
But you got to have done some real messed up stuff to be a billionaire, and your daughter like, I don't want no money from you, bro. Just get away from me. Like, so imagine what type of person, individual, he really is deep down, even to walk around like this. Now, do you think he's getting less backlash because he's white?
Absolutely.
When it comes to us, it's always baby daddies, baby mamas. And then when it comes to him, he had another child by a corporate person at his company. It's not like, come on.
It is the age-old idea this country was predicated on that white is right. If a white person does the exact same thing as a black person, it is understandable. If a black person does the same thing as a white person, it is deplorable. It is literally how they deal with us, from women to the way we dress. If you see, Kim Kardashian out in an outfit and she's dressed scantily clad, it's, oh, she looks so sexy. She's hashtag goes. If you see Meg Thee Stallion in that same exact outfit, it is, she doing too much. She thought and she bopping and all this stuff. Meanwhile, Meg don't have no kids and just graduated from college in her regular age. But we're not going to talk about that. We don't deal and don't give the same standards and requirements to black people as we do white. It's just, it's what it is.
And like, when it comes to me, like, I give backlash to Nick Cannon for numerous different
reasons. You give backlash to everybody, though.
I do. But yes. I don't give backlash to Elon Musk because I don't care about him. Like, when it comes to Elon, and I get it, he's one of the talked about person. That's what my thing is, because I would drag him to filth as well. But I don't even want to have to talk about this man. Like, there's nothing that interests me about Elon Musk. I really do, deep down inside. And I know some people take this as a joke when I say it, but I mean it from the bottom of my heart. I do not feel like that man is a human. I feel like he is an alien.
You know what, Lo? This goes across the board, because look at Alec Baldwin. Alec Baldwin is under fire right now and is about to face a trial for someone dying at his hands on set. Yeah. And that headline came across our desk and left so fast. However, we still talking about the smack with Will Smith. It is just, it's one of those things when it comes to black people, we put a level of scrutiny over our people. And not just us, the world does, in an unfair way that they do not do our white counterparts.
Yeah, the media. It's a constant coverage of it. And I don't mean media like us, like black media.
No, for sure.
I'm talking about the CNNs. I'm talking about the Fox Newses. They know that they try to paint black people in that negative light. And they'll continuously to sit there and praise a man like Donald Trump, who's a known racist, who is a known sexual, has offender. Sexual allegations, sexual offender, numerous things against him. But he's still yet and praised. When there's men, black men, like you said, like Will Smith, who, okay, he put his hands on somebody, it was wrong, but is he Donald Trump? Is he any of these people that are, who we should be talking about, real criminals?
Yeah.
Like, he assaulted somebody, yes. But this man had Donald Trump has gotten people killed. He's espionage, all kind of stuff that has gone on with Donald Trump.
This Capitol insurrection case is crazy. It's
disgusting. Your whole team is telling on you, and you're walking around still being praised.
Yeah.
But let a black man do something, and that's it.
Well, unless he's Clarence Thomas and he's married to Jenny, Lord, but that's another topic. Okay. I want to talk about these TikTok challenges because it is definitely something that is of the time. You have to be current with social media.
I'm dying, child. I don't know what's up. And somebody created a fake damn TikTok page of me and mad people following them more than me.
Hilarious. Now, I must say, I do enjoy watching the videos. A lot of them are funny. I'm over everybody trying to be a dancer with this choreography. I'm kind of over that. But I do enjoy some of these challenges and some of the stuff that's on there. However, I have seen things go a little far. You remember that crate challenge where people were doing that little crate in the heels and stuff?
Oh,
and
it's I forgot about it.
So all of these little challenges, why they find themselves, you know, as a 5-10 second funny little excerpt for our day, they have also been very dangerous. A recent TikTok challenge is parents talking their kids into fighting them against another adult in a child their age. Let's listen to this.
Get your shoes on. Because this kid is trying to beat me up outside and we gotta go fight. Go get your shoes.
Oh my God.
Yes, put your shoes on. Come on. Are you gonna fight?
Yes.
Are you scared?
No.
You gonna win?
Yes.
You excited?
Get your shoes on, G.
This your first fight?
I know what you're doing.
What?
You joking.
I'm not joking.
Come on, then. Let me see you.
That's not funny.
I'm not gonna lie. I've seen some of the videos and I did laugh at them because, like, some of the reactions of the kids was funny, but like, were they really trying to go outside and fight somebody?
Right. No. That's the part. I'm thinking about my three kids, and at the end of the day, nothing in the world matters to them outside of mommy and daddy. Like, for real, they're siblings and mommy and daddy. So the idea that a child that young, very immature, and their entire world is you, the idea of you being threatened, they're going to do anything.
Yeah.
For like mommy and daddy.
You're right. I ain't look at it like that.
I'm a mom. Like, when you're a parent, it's just different. Like, your mother would never come to you and be like, L'Oreal, this girl is outside talking crazy. Put your shoes on. Your mother would never do that.
I would already been out the door, though, like, for real. And that's
But your mom wouldn't, because she would not put her baby in that position. Like that. And you would literally go to the end.
Yeah, you just messed the joke up. I was laughing yesterday. Now I'm not laughing no more. No,
it's not funny.
This is why it was funny, because like some of them kids, it was this one girl in particular, I think, that I really started laughing. And this is she was on a scooter thing, and she like, this kid said that she gonna beat me up. She was like, where? And she picked up the thing. She started running with it. She was like, what are you doing with that? She like, it's gonna be my weapon. But I'm like, yo, she really rolled for her mother. And the mother started laughing like, I'm just joking. So I think that's why I took that as being funny. But then when I seen the one where the kids start crying, then I felt a little bit bad about the whole situation. So now you're making me have a conscience.
Put your shoes on because I gotta go fight someone's tia. So I need you to come with me in case you have to fight her nephew, okay?
I can't.
Why not?
Today?
Yeah. Is that okay?
Is it normal?
No, I have to fight someone's tia.
This tia?
No, someone else's tia.
Someone else's tia?
Yeah. So I need you to help me fight in case she brings her nephew. I need you to fight him.
I can't.
Why not?
Go to Target.
See, and then when I seen the baby crying behind this joke, that's when I was like, okay, maybe this ain't so funny.
Because this is the thing, like, the innocence of the kid was funny and their little reaction, but the truth of what they're asking them to do, and even though, like I said, they might not actually end up, you know, doing that or going out and fighting, but just putting that in there, making it okay, making it something that's joked about, that's how you end up on a cruise ship with 60 people fighting over the next man's threesome, because it's just, it's too much, and we are already, especially as little Black kids, and Black people, we are put on this, we've been brought into this country with a survival mode already in our DNA. And so to put that on a kid, I just, it's not funny to me.
Okay. I think that challenge needs to be done, man. Damn, I ain't think about it like that. Nah,
you know what I'm saying? If you saw me doing that to Marley, you'll be like, E, I love you, my friend. Marley not going out there with you. And don't do that.
I think because I don't know the kids, that's what make it funny. But like, you're absolutely right. If I seen like somebody that I knew, like say it was Marley and you like, yo, Marley, I got to fight, da da, and she started crying, I'd be like, Eva, why the hell did you do that?
Why? Yeah, you'll pull me to the side. Like, sis, I love you. You a good mom, but that right there ain't good. And don't do that.
Yeah, nah, that's whack. And don't do the crates either, because then you'll die.
The trauma you give a kid, you know what I'm saying? They remember that. They're going to remember that. You don't know what's going to happen to you. You might not make it on here, this earth, as long as you want to be here and see them through all these days and monuments. And so you leave them, you deal with your kids and you leave them with the best of what you are and the best of what you have, or at least you should. And a lot of parents are like, oh, I'm just being real. I'm just keeping it real. You can be real and not be mean. You can be real and not be nasty. You can be real and not be violent. And so there's a way for me to be the gangster from South Central and then still teach my daughter how to be the young lady she's going to need to be to fend for herself in this world. And fighting with me ain't it.
Yeah, I do got to say, though, shout out to some of them kids that was like some real ones that was like, my shoes already on. Because one of the people she did, she was like, put the clothes on. She said, I'm dressed. It's my fighting clothes.
I'm ready. Yeah. And you are saying
when you're bailing her out of jail, don't be surprised.
even if you have the luxury to be here when she needs to be bailed out of jail, that's the kind of stuff I think about. My best friend died when he was 30. So you might not have your mommy forever. You know what I'm saying? You might not have her. And what she gives you is going to stick. You're not going to be here to protect this baby forever.
Damn, man. I ain't sending even none of these jokes, because find out the challenge. And
well, see, that's the beauty about the Undressing Room podcast. You're going to get all perspectives. It's going to be
true.
Black woman strong. Right. But it comes, you know, it's all about the glasses and what you look through things in. And so let's look up in your DMs. I want to know who trying to holler at my girl.
Okay. It's like I'm just sending a lot of mixed signals out here. I'm going to run through a couple really quickly because some of them are really short and I feel like they go together for some reason. So now you have one person that hit me up. I just don't get it. You have one person that hit me up that said, I see you. He said, swear, you're just a fascinating sight. It's the face for me. And he said, you kicked that guy to the curb. I could tell. That is you. You're going to ruin some marriages with pictures like this. So, okay, he's saying I'm in a relationship and I kicked the guy to the curb, right? Which throws me off because then the next guy says, damn, why you got to be cuffed? So what am I giving? Like, am I in a relationship or am I?
You're giving none? What day did you listen to the podcast? Because
I do think like I move on very quickly and I get over things quickly.
As you deserve to, honey. You don't owe nobody nothing. You are yours and yours alone. And so if you would like to be tethered to this week and free next week, it is your prerogative.
Okay, well, listen to this one. He said, L'Oreal, I find you extremely attractive and would appreciate the opportunity to get to know you. I want to know what you look for in a mate, or even if you're in search of one. Signed, a real one. You're beautiful. I mean, not too superficial like looks. You just seem like a really beautiful person. What is wrong with these dudes?
Oh, I like his little mess. I was waiting to the end because I didn't know if he was going to mess up at the end. His was cute, though.
Let me tell you something. This man looked like he about 75.
What's wrong with these dudes? These dudes are still eligible, sir. They're not AARP members, sir, which is nothing wrong with it, but she's in her early 30s. Stop playing with this
woman. I just want to know if he has life insurance. So I just posted a picture while we were on the podcast, and somebody said something just really quick.
What'd they say?
He just said, might not read this, but you look amazing. Your beauty is absolutely breathtaking.
You giving this
message. Wait. Hope this message reaches you before someone has a chance to steal your heart besides me. Hope to hear back from you to see if we even vibe.
Oh, listen.
And he looked like he could cook.
Are looking like a specially curated snack these days. Now, let me just tell you, let me just give you your flowers real quick, sis. I've known you for a few years now. You are naturally a beautiful girl. You won't have nothing to do with it. That's your mommy and your daddy.
Thank you.
But there is something that is going on inside of the woman that is L'Oreal that is exuding on the outside. And this summer's display of this glow, sis, it is tangible. You can feel it. You can smell it in the room. It is literally infectious. So these DMs, honestly, this is not just somebody trying to shoot their shot. You giving the glow, sis.
Thank you, Eva.
You giving the glow. You are.
You know what it is? The crazier thing? I literally got rid of the people that did not need to be around me. And not even just me. God has been getting rid of the people that didn't deserve to be in my space. And some of it was taken away bad, like in a bad kind of situation. Mm-hmm. But I needed those kind of things to happen to me so that I could completely remove myself and stop helping people that are not worthy of my time and stop bringing people around that's not worthy of being in my space. So I promise you, I promise you, like, I've never felt so good, like, about
myself. You look like it.
Thank
you. If good look like something, it is the inside out. You can see you glowing. You don't have a stitch of makeup on, sis, but you are glowing from every picture. You posted a picture the other day. I was like, baby, this thing is fine. Why is she no? And it's not just that you got a beautiful body or you had on fabulous Macy's clothes or you were on a beautiful island, but it's like the essence that is you. It is so obvious that you are in a good place. I'm happy for you.
Thank you, sister.
I'm happy for you.
I'm so excited to put a big smile on my face. I'm just trying to match your glow, sis. I'm trying to be glowed up like my good
baby. You doing everything. You're doing everything you need to do. I'm proud of you, sis. I am.
I appreciate that.
I am. I'm proud of you. It ain't your birthday. It ain't about
a big
contract or nothing. Like, sometimes life's glow up, you know, being able to wake up in a space that you prayed for your head and heart to be in years ago. You know, it's nothing like looking up and realizing I am literally sitting in a seat that I prayed for years ago. I'm here now. You know what I'm saying?
Right. That's all the hard work pay off. Even with the 1 hour of sleep a day, we still get it done.
Child.
And y'all want me to have kids. What I'm gonna do? I'm gonna sleep. What I'm gonna
do? I got you. I'm gonna help you out because then I'm gonna
You got a village. You got a village. I'll just drop them off over there.
Drop them off over here. They not going outside fighting with Auntie Eva. You ain't got to worry about that. We in the
crib. You better do that to my child. Talk about some, hey. They trying to get Auntie Eva outside.
But your child will be the one strapped up. Like, let's go.
I'm ready.
If y'all didn't know, you listening to the Undressing Room podcast presented by Macy's. Let's go ahead and slide into the final question to undress. Woo. Black men also die alone. Listen to this.
Mm.
Hey everyone, I got a message for the black man. I'm a nurse assistant at a hospital. I work on the stroke floor. And I can't help but notice there's a lot of black men up there, nice looking, good job having, all kind of stuff, good looking men. And a lot of them have a stroke and can't move their left or right side. And end up, I ask them, where's your wife? You know, and all, most of them say, hey, I was a player. You know, I didn't never, you know, want to get locked down to anybody, you know, and they're sitting up there in their 40s, 50s, and ain't even got no wife. They depending on a stranger to wipe their ass and get them up in the chair, and then they're going to go to a nursing home, don't have nobody to take care of them or come visit them or nothing. What I'm saying is black men need to wise up. You got a woman that love you, that's loyal to you, that take care of you, that got your back. Marry that woman.
They ain't want to hear you though, sis.
You know what? That was, ooh, that just made my whole
well, and
little...
didn't we were just talking about wiping butts.
We was just talking about it. The thing, because you don't know sometimes your best years, oh, you only got a few of them. They sitting right there with you. And so it's about carpe diem, seize the moment, seize the day. Don't settle, but also don't overlook what's in front of you in hopes for something later, because the later might not come and you be in God's waiting room alone, baby.
See, but some people end up alone because they choose the wrong person and they stick with them for a long time too. And then they end up, when they get sick, that person dips out on them. So oof, you do have to be very careful. And 9 times out of 10, that's the woman you left the other woman for, because she ain't even really love you. She just was trying to get to your money or that's whatever crazy. The case, you know, or whatever the case. But I and do know a lot of older men mm-hmm. that are still juggling women. I'm not talking about, like, I'm talking about maybe a family member mm-hmm. or family friends or dudes that I knew to have a lot of women in their day, and they still try to do it. But then when something happens to them, they're always calling the family
or something. They don't have anyone else.
No, no, and no, that no, go to your hoes.
No, but see, that's the encouragement these days, is to understand that, like, when you got a good one, like my father had a stroke 11 years ago now, it hasn't spoke since. He has a condition called aphasia. He had a stroke. He took my mom out to, I think it was a comedy show one night on a Friday night. And he came back to the house after the show. He kept saying he had such a bad headache. And he had reached over for some aspirin and he fell over. And my mom was like, what the hell? At the time, my dad was in his late 50s. He was 56 years old. So my mom was like, what is going on? Called the paramedics. Paramedics came, gave him the shots you need to have when you have a seizure of that magnitude so that it's not permanent. And my dad ended up having on life support for quite some time.
No.
We wiped butts. We wiped coal out of his eyes, brushed teeth. That tar to build up real funny. When you laying down, not moving your mouth, you got to brush your teeth. Yeah. But it was his loved ones and the fact that he had my mother. You know, my mother has then retired. She does everything for my father, everything. My dad now is mobile again. She moved to Boston for a year and did a clinical trials at Beth Israel. Like, my mom dug it with my dad. And at that time, we are his kids, but we also have our own children. We also have our own lives and careers we're going to, you know, ensue. And so with all of that, if not for my mother, I know my dad will no longer be here. Mm-hmm. I know that. And so the PSA and the call to action is for these men to realize, if you don't have a good one yet, that's one thing. But if you got a good one, and she's there and she riding for you, give her the best of you right now, because it is not a promise you're going to always be this person. And she's still going to love you no matter what. So give her the best while you can.
Yeah, you definitely. And similar situation, not similar, but like my father was sick for mad long. Like he had diabetes, was on dialysis, all kind of stuff. And his wife or girlfriend or whatever, because he lied about that even to me for years, she ended up passing away. And she was the one that would do everything for him after my mother left him. You know what I mean? My mother left because he was cheating with her. So, when he was really messed up towards the end, me and my father didn't really speak because he said some pretty nasty things to me. Well, he wasn't the nicest man. So I wasn't around him much towards the end. I tried to be, but he just wasn't the nicest man. So the crazy thing was, even though he did all that stuff to my mother had to take him to court for child support because he was bitter that she left. It was like so many things, but when he was in need, my mother was like one of the only people that helped him. And this
was a black woman for you.
It's so crazy because they weren't together. He did grimy stuff. He moved on and with the woman that he cheated with after she left. And yet, and still, I mean, he did things to me, not like that, but like
what you mean,
you know, like verbally abusive. And she yet and still was there for him when he was messed up. Yeah. And it's crazy to me because, like, when I look at that, I do see that I'm a similar person, that, like, no matter if somebody has did me wrong, I'm still sometimes always there for them. And that's why I was saying to you, people needed to get out of my space and my area,
yes,
because they'll take advantage of that. People look at people like, me or my mother or you or whatever, like victims. Like
they end
like
up bringing people, you down and you don't even realize it.
No, like not even victims, like people they could prey upon, like, oh, I know she's going to do whatever, whatever. So you got to put your foot down sometimes. And I had to put my foot down with my dad while he was dying. And that was a hard thing for me. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But she was able to like help him in whatever way that I knew that I wasn't going to be able to, because I couldn't take him keep talking to me how he was talking to me. You know what I mean? Because it was affecting me mentally. So I couldn't be in that space. Like,
that's your daddy.
Yeah. I couldn't be in that space. So, but she was there.
She was a soldier. She is what this Black woman is, this nurse is, what my mom is, what we are. And I guess it is just high time for us to realize that nothing is for certain. Nothing lasts forever. I'm not trying to be an outcast song, but it's the truth. And once the truth reveals itself, you start moving a little bit different. Yeah. I think a lot of times we just think, oh, never us, or it wouldn't happen to me. You could never tell me that my daddy wasn't going to be able to say my name in 10 years, ever.
Right.
You could not have convinced me of that, but it's the reality and we make it work with what we got. And I am so grateful for everything we had before, because it helps what we have now. But you gotta think
about how you treat people, what your intentions are with people. And we have to stop treating those people that are always there for us in life like they're disposable, because those people are few and far between, and you never know when you might need them, and it's always going to be at the worst possible time.
And Black men, we love you, we adore you, you are the ones, you are the king.
They
we
know this too, you. And we that's why they take advantage sometimes.
And so at the end of the day, why they think you cute because you got on fancy clothes and them diamonds, we love you scruff unlined up at home on your mama's couch with the little plastic on the couch.
Love your dirty drawers.
You know what I'm saying? Your dirty drawers. Black love is real, and we have to stick together. We do. We got to stick together, y'all.
Period. Stop acting like we against each other, and we're the Black women are not the enemy to Black men. Like, we are the ones that always have y'all
Beijing
back.
Is. I'm just joking.
Oh, my God. Bye, Eva. You're listening to the Undressing Room Podcast, brought to you by Macy's. Log on to theundressingroompod.com for episodes and links to our Macy's personal shopping page. But Eva, you know, it's a lot of people that want to input on that final question.
Yes.
What can they do?
Now, it's super, super, super easy. If you want us to undress your final question, just follow us on Instagram at The Undressing Room Podcast. Slide into our DMs and boom, that's your chance to be featured.
Yes. And we're going to get out of here.
But yeah, you know what? Today was a lot. It was like heavy, but then it was insightful and it was motivational. I got a tear in my eye. I'm going to go wipe it out before I go to my next job. It was just
crying because I was out here extorting these kids to go fight in the street and I thought it was funny. That's why I'm crying. I thought it was crying. You had to put me in my place.
Because of these daddies, and these daddies don't know how much they mean to us in this world.
Yeah. And how much we need them.
We do.
Yeah.
We need them. So these Black women are out here praying for these Black men to get better. We got, you know, y'all are kids' daddies. And so the way I look at my daddy, that's the same thing. That's my daughter is going to be me in the next 30 years. What's the difference?
We need to, and we praying for y'all to treat us better too. And not only y'all, because some of y'all know how to treat us.
No, like Clarence Thomas. Okay, so it's a couple of y'all we don't want. No. Clarence, you stay with Jenny, okay? Don't find no Shirley.
Don't you find no Shirley where you at at church.
You leave Shirley alone.
The crazy thing is, you know that's who he's going to end up with when she leaves.
I don't know Shirley won't hear
him. That's how it be, though. They get their revelation on their deathbed.
Some of y'all can stay over there. I'm just saying. And then some of y'all will take. All right.
Bye, guys.
The Undressing Room Podcast, presented by Macy's, is an Urban One Reach Media production, hosted by the one, the only, Eva Marcille and L'Oreal.
Executive produced by Kobe Cope Tyner. Associated producer Alexis Felder. Editing and production by Dunkus. Sales and corporate partnership, Josh Romani, Michelle Marino, and Kadisha Campbell. Research, Lori Hall Flowers. Digital marketing, Sam Sires, J.R. Davis, and Tim Hall. Digital creative, Alvin Francis.
Content provided by MadamNoir.com, Bossom.com, and HipHopWire.com. Stay connected at TheUndressingRoomPod.com. See you at the next episode.